You're listening to the V Show podcast. Listen to Bob Valvano weekdays noon to 3 only on ESPN 680 and online at ESPNLouisville.com.
Are you ready to get behind the wheel of a UPS tractor trailer? Seasonal tractor trailer drivers earn $32 an hour. Drivers must be at least 21 years of age, have a Class A CDL with T endorsement, 2 years of tractor trailer experience, and be able to drive a standard transmission. As a driver, you could participate in team driving, in-town runs, or help at a local UPS facility. Are you ready to get on the road? Apply now at upsjobs.com. That's upsjobs.com.
Time now for Fast Break Friday on The V Show, presented by Universal Windows Direct, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bob Valvano and Mike Pratt.
Round, round, get around, I get around.
Yeah, get around, round, round, I get around.
I get around.
Yeah, it's Fast Break Friday, and that's the music you're going to get all show long, because for the people of a certain generation who already know, they'll say, wow, those are the Beach Boys. That's legendary stuff. And for the kids who'll say, why are you making such a big deal about having Brian Wilson on? Then you'll say, oh, I recognize that song. Oh, I recognize that song. Oh, I know that song. Oh,
the guy. And he wrote most of them.
I wrote 25, more than 25. Turn Mike's mic down, please. He wrote over 25 top 40 hits. He was one of the founding guys behind the Beach Boys, which, by the way, we'll ask him about. You know, they didn't choose that name.
No, they didn't.
The record company gave it to them. We got a whole bunch of things we're dying to ask him. He has had a life that can best be described as adventurous.
The dynamics of that group, if you've read anything, I probably read three different books. There's been a bunch written. And the dynamics of that group with the dad and the mom,
his father was supposedly abusive, and they had, and then there was management issues.
Yep,
and, you know, his cousin Mike Love, and it's amazing how sports has a link. His cousin Mike Love is the brother,
dad. Oh, no, he's a brother. He's a brother of Stan Love, whose son is Kevin Love. Yeah. It's all love.
6 degrees of separation to Kevin Bacon or whatever that show is, that game was. But, yeah, he's an extraordinary guy. He's had his share of challenges. He's had he's fought mental illness problems, which is not a secret. And anybody who's listened to that knows how daunting that can be. He's been in and out of institutions. A lot of it, by his own admission, was self-inflicted. He was a very, very much an abuser of drugs for a long time. His weight went to like 325 pounds and back down to 180 pounds, which is, needless to say, not the healthiest way to do it. He was under the spell, that's an awful word, but of a guy who was working ostensibly as his life counselor, and really became caused a big source of friction, because the other band members said he became like Brian's guru. He couldn't do anything without this guy's permission. And eventually he's out the door now, and now he's out touring again. This was a guy who suffered from stage fright, believe it or not, for a long
time. Yeah, he wouldn't tour with him for a stretch there. He wouldn't. Isn't it interesting, all the things you mentioned? He's got one of those personalities that is addictive to all kinds of things. Like they said, he would stay up all night and try to write music and play music, and you know, he slept in a sandbox, right?
Put his bed in a sandbox. Installed in his living room. But what's interesting, and this is one of the things I'm actually going to ask him. I mean, we'll see.
Don't ask you about the sandbox, please.
No, but I'm going to ask him. And he's a guy that is regarded retrospectively now, and at the time, as a musical genius.
Yes.
And he says that bothered him, because he said there's a certain, I don't know what the term would be, reluctance to deal with quote-unquote geniuses, because you think, oh, what a pain in the ass they're going to be. And he was eccentric, to say the least.
Oh, wow. Are you kidding me?
So he said, I never thought I was a genius. I thought I had talent, but I never thought I want to ask him about that. Think about this. His first song that made the charts is now 56 years old. It was 1962.
I was going to say 62, yeah.
56 years old. Does he look back now differently? I mean, I can't imagine any of us, if we're lucky enough to make it to our 70s, look back and say, well, I see the world exactly like I did in my 20s. I mean, certainly the world changes. I'm curious.
Please. Yeah, please.
I'm curious if he would say, you know, I embrace it now. I'm flattered. Or, you know, or no, that was a big hurdle I had to overcome. Or now I'm just enjoying the music. Because he does different tours, by the way. I don't even know this. I just learned this, which is also amazing. He does tours that are like three completely different shows, I guess, going on simultaneously. Like what he's going to do here in Louisville, and you would know this because you read about them. He did an album that was basically a solo album, even though it was released under the Beach Boys banner, called Pet Sounds.
Supposed to be one of the front runners and leaders in changing music in the way the music was presented.
Yep.
Yeah, it was thought to be when it came out. Yeah, you know, Beach Boys.
Exactly.
But as we've moved through it, that Pet Sounds
in England, there's at least one publication I know, and I was researching this, that called it the greatest album of all time. So that gives you an idea of how strong it's regarded. My understanding is he's performing it here. That's what he's doing. He's doing the album.
The whole okay.
Yeah, he's doing the Pet Sounds, the final performances, but that's not the only show he does. Like in Kansas City, on the 13th, he's going to do the Greatest Hits Live. The 15th in St. Charles, Missouri, it's Greatest Hits Live. Here at the Louisville Palace, it's Pet Sounds final performances. And then I understand when the holidays come around, he's going to be performing he did a holiday, like most of the great artists. He did a Christmas album, and he's going to be performing that. So how the hell do you prepare for three shows?
But he's done them so long that he could probably do them blindfolded. I mean, he understands the flow. He understands. He wrote most of the music.
Yeah, well.
Now, you know, these guys, the Beach Boys, in the early to middle 60s, the story I was going to say is they were the music of the young generation.
Oh, they were on the cutting edge.
Until the Beatles came along.
The British invasion.
It was just Motown and the Beach Boys. Those two people ran the music world.
Well, you could say, and people do say, that because of his influence, I mean, the music, the center, quote-unquote, the center of music was still considered New York in the early 60s.
Yeah.
And his success and that sound, that beach sound, really made it so L.A. became the center of music, and the whole focus shifted, and he was a big, big part of that. Can you imagine? I mean, think about that. I often think about, you know, you're lucky. Seriously, I'm not being sarcastic when I say this. If you're a guy that is lucky enough to make a living playing little clubs and, you know, weekend gigs or whatever, but you make your living at it, that's extraordinary. If you're still relevant 50 years down the road, that's amazing. If you're still relevant 50 years down the road and people are talking about you as being a member of the Hall of Fame as a writer, a performer, a producer, you've changed the business, the Beatles were influenced by you, I don't know if I would be able to handle all that. I think I'd flip out too.
I'll tell you what, the guy is so talented and didn't get that recognition early in his career.
No.
But even through all his issues, you know, it's come back to him, and he's held in the highest of high esteem.
Well, it's not just about Brian Wilson. It's also Breeders' Cup Day. It starts today. And Donna Barton Brothers, a former jockey who had won over 1,100 horse races as a jockey, now, of course, is an analyst for NBC Sports and TVG. And she joins us right now about day one of the Breeders' Cup. She's only got a few minutes. We're grateful to have her with us. Donna, how are you today?
I'm well, Bob. How are you today?
We're good. Mike Pratt's here with me, and we're glad that you're able to visit with us. It's a little chillier today than I thought it might be. I thought we were going to get a little warmer. How's it out at the track today?
I was going to mention that, but I thought, you know, it's best not to complain right off the top. But, yeah, the weather could be better, Bob. If you really want to know, I could do better weather.
Yeah. As crazy as that sounds, does that favor anybody, European horses or anything? I mean, who maybe run in colder climate than we do here, or is that just completely not even a factor?
Well, I can tell you this. Horses are cold weather animals, so they love it. The colder, the better for them. However, they don't necessarily love the muddy racetrack or love the turf course to be soft. And so when you're talking about the racetrack conditions, it's typically not trying to find a horse that likes the mud or that likes the soft going. You're looking for horses who don't mind it or who are able to compete well over it anyway. Like, I'll give you a for example. I was talking with Gary Stevens earlier about the horse that he rides in the juvenile turf, King of Speed, and he loves this horse. But he said, you know, Donna, but I'm going to be honest with you, I don't know how he's going to handle the heavy going. And I said, is he a big, robust colt, or is he, you know, small and nimble? He said, no, he's a big, good-looking, robust colt, which doesn't bode well for a horse on the turf because they just sink deeper into it. And so if you're out at the track and you're looking for horses to bet and trying to figure out who's going to be able to handle it, you know, we're always looking for those big, good-looking horses. On days like today, I look for the small, nimble ones.
Oh, makes sense.
Donna Mike Pratt here. I've got a question for you about that turf track. I understand they've upgraded the condition of that track.
What have they upgraded it to, Mike? You're way ahead of me.
I believe they firm, I think, is what I had heard. But it was soft. It was
yielding. I always liked that term.
Was yielding? Yeah. No, they've upgraded it, I think. So I don't know. How did you see the turf this morning?
I have not walked out on the turf course, so I'm really not going to be able to answer that question until, you know, we get out there and see. It would be really hard for me to believe that this is a firm turf course. So even if they're calling it firm, I would handicap it as a yielding or a good turf course. It is not going to be firm, I assure you. They might call it that, not firm.
So that kind of hinders those closers, does it not? If you get too far behind, you're going to wear yourself out trying to close in that stuff. Maybe the front runners.
My experience has been that the softer the turf course is, so the softest possible listing that we have in the U.S. is soft. In Europe, they use other ratings like heavy and things like that. But the softest conditions we have are called soft. And over a turf course listed as soft, oddly enough, speed holds. But on turf courses listed as good in yielding, those are the come-from-behind days. And so if the turf course is playing like a good or a yielding turf course, you're going to see horses coming from behind. Because what happens is the horses who are out in front just get tired. And the ones who are in the back of the pack and just kind of galloping along, not doing too much early, have energy left. So it's not so much that they come flying with a rush because they've got so much energy. It's more that the horses in front of them come back to them. You got to get to the wire to win.
Yes, yes, yes.
NBC Sports has the coverage of the Breeders' Cup for 2 days, today and tomorrow, and Donna's part of that, of course. A little bit of bad news, though, today. Code of Honor was the 5-1 third choice for the Breeders' Cup Juvenile and out today. That's how does that influence your factoring in and handicapping this race?
Well, I definitely think it makes it look better for the horse that won the Champagne Stakes. And I'm looking at it right now. There's 221 horses, Bob and Mike. Like, how can I remember all these names?
No, you can't.
Complexity and Game Winner. Game Winner, the horse of Bob Baffert's coming from the West Coast. Code of Honor just ran such a huge race last time out in the Champagne Stakes. And so I think a lot of people were betting him or wanting to bet him from the angle that he got away from the gates badly, came running, just wants more ground. I'm not sure that Complexity does want to go the mile in the 16th distance, but he'll have a better chance without a horse like Code of Honor breathing down his neck late. But I really just think it makes it a little bit of an easier contest for Game Winner. But then again, now we're talking about a California horse who's maybe been on a muddy track before, but maybe not. You know, they don't get a lot of rain out in California. You certainly never run over a muddy racetrack. It's always been a fast track. So, you know, that could hinder his chances. But I do think that, given the fact that he'll be forwardly placed, will help him because he's not going to have to also get used to getting a lot of the kickback back in his face. That can be pretty difficult for young horses, especially to overcome.
This is, go ahead, Mike, I'm sorry.
Interesting horse down in the seventh race, the juvenile fillies, Jaywalk. Kind of like that horse.
Yeah. Yeah, Jaywalk is a she's a good filly. I mean, this is a filly who, if she wins, she's going to be 4 for 5 lifetime. She's won her last 3 races in a row, and her win in the Frisette last time out could not have been any easier. She certainly, you'd have to think that she's going to be able to handle a little bit more ground. She's got orientate on her dam side, which indicates that she can handle the ground. And she has laid off the pace before, going 5.5 furlongs. And so you got to like that she's got some versatility to her, too. It will be her first time going 2 turns, but it's going to be the first time for a lot of these horses doing the 2-turn distance.
Donna, let's, you know, for the layperson who really just does not follow all of the races in great depth, the sexiest one, of course, is the Classic, and we wish we had Justify. That would have made the whole thing great. There is no real marquee star like we've had, you know, with Farrow and Justify and in the past, and even Zenyatta, but it's still a terrific field. Accelerate is the most likely favorite. You taking a stand against him, or what do you think?
I am. Yeah, he's not in my top three, to be honest.
Wow. Okay.
And it has nothing to do with the fact that John Sadler is 0 for like 100 now, which I'm exaggerating. I think it's 0 for 42.
Wow.
Because I think he'll win a race later on the card. But I didn't like the fact that Accelerate didn't want to load in the gate last time out, which is why he was bad in there, and then he didn't get away well. And yes, he is in the outside post, and that does help him from the standpoint of his gate issues, but he hasn't always had gate issues. And so I don't like the fact that this five-year-old is suddenly like, no, I don't want to go in the starting gate, especially when you're getting ready to go into the biggest race that he's going to run all year long. The 14 hole, I think that'll be fine, easy enough for him to overcome. He's got a long run to the first turn, but I just don't like those signs. I actually picked West Coast in that race, even though Mike Smith chose McKenzie over West Coast, but I think he did that. That was more a factor of McKenzie will still be running next year, and this is West Coast's last race. And so Mike Smith said, you know, if somebody else wins on McKenzie, Baffert's not going to take him off after he's won the Classic and let me ride him back. And so I think for him, he was just trying to secure that mount for down the road. Mike Smith's already won 12 grade ones this year, including the Triple Crown. So he's having a good year.
Seven a decent season.
Donna, now you said you threw Accelerate out. Who did you put in along with West Coast? I'm a fan of West Coast. Would McKenzie be one you'd put in?
I threw him out, too. I didn't like the fact that starting that left and right. You know what? You have to take a stand, right? At some point, you have to decide, what is my position in this? And I just feel like when he came out of, he ran a good race in the Pennsylvania Derby when he won. That was a race that was off of a layoff. But then Baffert said that he came out of the race a little bit light. And I don't want to hear that a horse just came off of a few-month layoff, ran a big race like that, and then got light right before his next race, which is the Breeders' Cup Classic, so I tossed him too. My top two or three horses are going to be West Coast, Thunder Snow, and Yoshida.
Oh,
God, I was waiting to hear Catholic Boy in there.
Yeah, I like that horse too, yeah. But what was the last one again?
Yoshida, that's the horse of Billy Mott, who had been running on the grass, and then they just tried an experiment with him last time out when they ran him in the Grade 1 Woodward Stakes. And he won like a really good horse. He beat Gunavera. Now, Gunavera did step on himself in that race, and he, Gunavera did that in the Dubai World Cup. So Gunavera was coming back off of his layoff since the Dubai World Cup when he ran in that race, but which was a good race. He ran in the, talking about Gunavera, he did come back and won a condition allowance race after that Dubai race, and then ran second in the Woodward Stakes behind Yoshida, but I just thought Yoshida showed a whole other dimension there. I like the way he's been training here at the track. And, I think by tomorrow we're going to have a fast track. I think everything would change if we don't have a fast track. Because if you'll recall, Thunder Snow did run in the Kentucky Derby last year and left the starting gate bucking like a wild horse because of the slop hitting him under his belly. So he might not be in my top 10 if it's
sloppy
track. That's a good point.
Well, Donna, I got Tuesday night I have to broadcast a college basketball doubleheader, so I've got to learn about maybe 40 players. God bless you for having to learn about 1,100 horses here. I don't know how you're doing that. You're on top of your game. So thanks for wading through some of it with us, and we'll look for you on NBC. NBC's got the coverage of the Breeders' Cup for today and tomorrow. A little chilly out there today. Stay warm, Donna. Yeah. Hopefully tomorrow you get some sunshine.
All right. Well, good to talk to you guys. Enjoy the races and have a good time at that game, guys.
All right. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Donna.
Yeah, Donna. All right, bye. Brothers with us here on the V Show and on Fast Break Friday with Mike Pratt here. We are at Academy Sports. I didn't even tell you that. Let me tell you why we're here. Because we've got to, you know, we should be telling people to come and enter.
Absolutely. I mean, we've got plenty of room for entries, Bob.
Yeah, well, it's because we haven't told anybody about entering. We can't read our minds. You can win an SEC Nation VIP experience, which includes access for two to the SEC Nation VIP hospitality tent, a free breakfast, a post-show photo opportunity on the set, plus Academy Sports and Outdoors tailgate chairs to take home for each guest. This is the SEC Nation VIP experience this Saturday, tomorrow. Does not include tickets to the game, and no, please enter, please. But no alcoholic beverages are allowed in the SEC Nation compound. Proper attire, including closed toe shoes and, I believe, pants. I believe they want you to wear pants, is required. I just threw that in.
You're being cute today, aren't you?
I'm being cheeky. Your VIP experience is non-transferable, can be revoked at any time. Please meet at the Academy Sports and Outdoors tent. Look for the big blue chair. Identify yourself to the event staff as the VIP experience winner, and they'll give you a lanyard and credential and escort you to the VIP tent. The event is taking place outside the William T. Young Library. Mike knows where that is.
I do.
At the 401 Hilltop Avenue in Lexington. Catered breakfast available at 9. The show films from 10 a.m. to noon. Photo opportunity on set will follow the broadcast. We recommend you arrive promptly at 9 to get checked in. And should you need anything leading up to the event, we'll give you a phone number if you win it, so we'll tell you all about that. The SEC Network's pregame show, SEC Nation, is broadcasting live from Lexington tomorrow. As the official sporting goods retailer of the SEC, come to Academy Sports and Outdoors in Middletown Commons today at the intersection of Gene Snyder and Shelbyville Road. Today from noon till 3, that's our show, for your chance to win a behind-the-scenes VIP pass to the broadcast. While you're there, pick up your tailgate gear for less or shop online at academy.com. Academy Sports and Outdoors, for all, for less. So there you go. So that's why we're here, Mike. If you were saying, hey, Bob, why are we here today? Now you know.
Well, I kind of thought we were here for Brian Wilson.
Oh, very jazzed up about that. Pet Sounds has a number of the big Beach Boy hits on it, even though, as I said, it's really considered a solo album. It was released under the Beach Boy tag. We'll see if Nick, we can get Nick to play some of these in just a bit here, because we're playing Beach Boys music in every intro and outro and rejoin. But Pet Sounds has, let's see, you know, it has Wouldn't It Be Nice.
Wouldn't It Be Nice.
Sloop yes. John B., God Only Knows. That's a very lovely little ballady kind of song. Very nice. I'm just curious. I'm trying to find a set list for wherever else he's played, and I don't think it would be Mike. It wouldn't be inappropriate to ask him. I mean, you always ask artists what are you going to play. That's they don't like to release the set list, but I would like to know: is he going to perform the album as it was written? Are there going to be songs that weren't on the album? What are we looking forward to for Pet Sounds here? I mean, if he just does the album, that'll be fine because people will love it, but it's a very popular album. But I'm curious if he's going to do any of his other hits or what.
This is Pet Sounds album 50th anniversary.
That's why he's doing it. He's
paying
homage, as it were.
Yeah, he's. This is going to be really interesting.
I'm glad you're an aficionado, because you're as jazzed up as I am.
I am. I mean, I've seen him on television. I've read about him, and respect greatly his talents and understand the issues he's had with the whole problems he's had. Here's a question for you.
Okay.
Pet Sounds, how did it get its name?
That I do not know.
Okay, the name mostly came from a joke about Brian Wilson being able to hear noises others couldn't, like dogs. He imagined he could hear dog noises no one else did. And I guess he just simply would not disagree with anybody that said he couldn't. He said, I hear this. And, you know, back in the day, petting, that was making out.
Sure.
Okay, and everyone thought Pet Sounds was about making out. Not so. It's about Brian Wilson being able to hear other noises people couldn't hear, like dogs, that there were no dogs around.
You know, it's interesting, and I do want, this is worth asking him. The Beatles went through this in their later years. They no longer consider themselves a performing band, a touring band. So they really didn't like touring at that point. They'd already been performing live like 8 zillion shows. So they went in the studio, and the things that they were doing in the studio don't translate to being performed live. that was kind of what Pet Sounds was as well. The album's complexity, the other members of the band said, how the hell are we going to play this on tour? We can't play this music touring. And he said, well, it's too bad, Brian. He said, if we're going to grow as a group, this is what we have to do. We got to grow, guys. And that caused some, as always, I told you, every Behind the Music is the same. They start, they're great, they're happy, then they all want to kill each other. And
then they break up.
Then they break up, and then there's lawsuits. And there's
the Eagles did that. My boys, the Eagles, they all do it.
Everybody, yeah, they yeah, all yeah. do. So the fact is, that's what they did as well. But I'm wondering, how does he perform it live? How does he incorporate?
Who's with him on this tour?
That I don't know.
Is he doing it solo? Is he doing it solo?
Since you know a lot about the guys on the tour, in the band, his greatest hits, he has Al Jardine with him.
Oh, yeah. He was an original.
Yes. He's got, and I believe he's got one other member, Blondie. I forget the guy's name now, and it's terrible, but I think he's got a second of the Beach Boys with him. In fact, I think that the Beach Boys, air quotes, are just two now that travel, I think, that perform.
Two with him?
No.
There's two groups, yes.
The Beach Boys are off on their own, and Brian's off on his own.
Right.
And
Mike Love.
Mike Love is with one other guy, performs under the banner of the Beach Boys.
Right.
And I guess he and Brian really got the most acrimonious. They really butted heads
legally too.
Everywhere.
I mean, now Mike Love had the
his
Beach Boys.
I think you should grill him on that.
Yeah, I think I'll say, hey, does the name Mike Love
mean anything? You know who's one of my favorite players in the NBA? Kevin Love. That guy can really play.
You know the Loves.
You know them at all? You familiar with them? Oh, my. All right. We're against the bottom of the hour break, but we are so busy today. You'll have to indulge me. I've got to try and work some of these things in. It's my pleasure to do it because without them, we don't exist. Fast Break Friday is presented by Universal Windows Direct. If you suffered through a winter last year that was cold and drafty, you don't want to do it again this year, this is the time to call my guys at Universal Windows Direct, not only in Louisville, but in Lexington as well, and they've got a great deal for you on the best windows on the market. They have an insulation process that is 90% of the other windows on the market do not use simply because they have metal involved in their insulation process. And as you know, metal's a conductor. So the cold comes in or the heat comes in, their windows do not use those. And by not having metal in there, they're also much more stable. The metal breaks down, the seals break, and you're back to square one. Not with these windows. That's why the warranty is like none other in the business. It's a lifetime warranty for as long as you own your home and 30 years to the next homeowner. And right now, for every window you buy, you get the next window free. No limit. Buy one, get one. There's 0% financing for 36 months. That's the best way to buy things with somebody else's money. Plus, this week, you can get free installation. That warranty, the best window, buy one, get one, 0% financing, free installation. You simply cannot beat that. So schedule your free in-home estimate today. Call Universal Windows Direct at 487-5200. That's 502-487-5200. You can go online, find them at universalwindowsdirect.com. Like me, you'll be saying, I love my windows. Back with more from Academy Sports and Outdoors. Come see us and enter. We only have a couple entries in there. Sign in. You might win. You might win the SEC SEC Nation VIP experience. So come on and enter here at Academy.
You don't have to be present to win.
Yeah, but you have to fill it out. We can't do it for you.
Well, we might be able to. No, depends on friends and family.
Mike's stuff in the ballot box. Scandal. Scandal. Back with more ESPN 680.
The Midwest Farmer's Daughters really make you feel all right. And the Northern girls with the way they kiss, they keep their boyfriends warm at night. I wish they all could be California. I wish they all could be California. I wish they all could be California.
Mike is laughing at me because my investments are so humble. Trading like the big boys, and I'm trading like the little boys.
No, right now, my retirement monies are in managed accounts, so somebody else is trading.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know, so
no,
I mean,
no, that's no fun.
But I need to get a Robinhood account.
You do. It's great fun.
I'm
going to make some money. If you use my name, they'll give you a free stock at Robinhood.
Right.
Yeah, all you got to do is go to Robinhood. If I could find the copy, I wasn't prepared to do Robinhood. I was prepared to do Quip. Nick, tell me about Robinhood.
Well, he's a fictional character. He swung through the woods of Sherwood Forest, fought the sheriff of Nottingham, robbed from the rich, gave to the poor.
Seriously, where the hell is it?
He had a sidekick named Little John, which was ironic because he wasn't so little, actually.
And he actually wasn't named John.
Yeah, he was pretty prominent with a bow staff. He also had Friar Tuck, Will.
Friar Tuck,
His sidekick was Will,
too. That's not the Robin Hood we're talking about. Robin Hood is a fantastic investment app. Here it is. This is the one I wanted to tell you about. It's an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos, all commission-free. Mike, no commission. No commission. Buy it, sell it, boom, no commission.
I like that.
Other brokerages charge you up to $10 for every trade. Not Robin Hood. You trade your stocks, keep all of your profits. I'm working on getting to profits right now, but we'll get there. They're all going to bounce back. Just
you're $48 down. You're about to, you know, tap out, right?
I am. I'm great. That's going to, as Nick said, boy, Christmas is going to stink this year. Robin Hood, but that's obviously not, we're being facetious. It's going to be just fine. My portfolio is going to do just fine, and yours will too, because you can learn how to invest as you build your portfolio, discover new stocks, track favorite companies, and you should do that. You should have some fun money in here.
Sure. I want to use the Val Vano name. What is that code?
Here's what you get. If you use our name, they'll give listeners a free stock, and it could be Apple, Ford, Sprint. It could be any numbers that help you build your portfolio. I got Chesapeake Energy. That was mine.
How's it doing for you?
I sold it.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, it went up and I sold it. Sign up at valvano.robinhood.com. That's valvano.robinhood.com, and you can get your free stock and have some fun and make some money. And we have to make some money because Nick's brother is getting married in the spring. And boy, oh boy, did not realize what an expensive proposition that was.
Well, no. I've had two and stepkids that have gone through it. I understand all that.
Oh, my God, no wonder you're still working.
Yeah, man. We got to do a little history here,
Mr.
Val Vano.
I'm ready.
Okay, back in the day, you know, there was Motown and out of Detroit, and then there was the bubblegum music, which was a reference to the music, and along came the psychedelic pop, led by
our guest. We hope. He's going to call us, and if he doesn't, then we'll absolutely slather his name all over the radio for days.
But Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys, you know, they went from their sound, their Beach Boy sound, to he got into this psychedelic music, and he was the leader with Pet Sounds. And that lasted probably till the early 70s when, of course, the Beatles and the Stones and people like that with the English Invasion. But, you know, this guy was an amazing head-of-the-curve guy. And that psychedelic pop was amazing. It was a blend of they called it trippy effects, guitars. They manipulated tape. They backwards recorded.
Oh, yeah.
They did all that stuff.
They were just playing. It was like kids in a playground. There's a song the Beatles did that starts with a feedback from it's one note, and then they move it closer to the speaker, and it gets the feedback, and it's.
Backwards
I
recording.
Feel Fine, or which one is that? I can't remember. Yeah, I think it's I Feel Fine. And it started with George's guitar feedback. They stumbled on it once. They said, hey, that's cool. Let's use that. And so, but the question is, and I want to ask Brian this, how do you do a show live when so much of the production of the album itself was done in ways that are kind of, you know, manipulating studio stuff?
If I remember right in what I read about the Beach Boys, since they were of my era, They first came with this, what was called a wall of sound.
Yeah, well, that was, and also so was Motown. That was.
Yes.
That was Barry Gordy's thing.
Yes. And those two groups really pushed this all forward and to become what, that era of rock and roll soul music was to everybody.
Well, we're hopeful he's going to join us shortly. We are efforting Brian Wilson, and if he does join us, then if not, my roommate will be heartbroken.
Did you tell him that, and he's tuned in?
Oh, I haven't heard from the guy in like 6 months. I put on Twitter yesterday. I didn't tell you this? This is the text. And Nick doesn't even know this. This is the text I get from my roommate who I haven't spoke to in months. How the hell did you and your talented producer son get Brian Wilson on your show? I've never been prouder or more in awe of the Val Vano family.
Oh.
So I said, I'm going to see if I can get him to say go Patriots today, but I don't know if I'll be able to do that.
Go Pats.
Even get him, so we'll see. That's their nickname, the Francis Marion Patriots down in South Carolina.
People out there probably saying, shut up, let's talk sports, right?
Well, especially if he's not going to join us.
We just don't know. But we've got basketball to talk about.
Well, even more importantly, you've got the biggest game. This is the biggest game in I wouldn't say your lifetime. I've been in town 22 years. It's certainly the biggest football game Kentucky's played in that time.
When Alabama, when Bear brought Alabama back in the 75 season, I think, in the stadium just opened up, that was a big game. Of course, we weren't ranked. The ramifications weren't there, and there's always an SEC team that top drawer that we play. But for both teams to be where they are today, this, without a doubt, you got to go back to my friend, the late Babe Parilli, and people like that that, you know, I mean, a long, long time ago, before you get matchups like we're seeing on Saturday. And my only hope is that they don't lay an egg. I mean,
well, that would be. I said that earlier. I did say that. I said, look, they're underdogs. They're significant underdogs, even though they're home. Everybody knows Georgia's the real deal. If they go out and lose the game, it'd be really disappointing, of course. But if they don't go out and make it so that there's an air of excitement for the fans that are all jacked up, you go in there and they get, as you said, they just play terribly, that would be awful. All right. Fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, our very, very special guest, and I cannot tell you how excited we are to have him join us. And Nick has put together a special open for our next guest, and here it is.
Who's going to be the guest picker?
Oh, gosh, your guess is as good as mine. I mean, again, if you could get Jennifer Lawrence, that would be great.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal.
I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentle wind on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air. I'm picking up good vibrations.
Ladies and gentlemen, we usually make it a bit of a secret, but we were too excited to keep it a secret this time. So I've been telling you for 2 days that our next guest, and we're thrilled to have him, is going to be performing in Louisville later this month, November 16th, at the Louisville Palace. He is truly one of the most influential musicians in music history. He's in the Hall of Fame as a composer, a performer, a producer, one of the co-founders of the Beach Boys. Brian Wilson joins us right now. Brian, thank you so much for being with us. How are you today?
I'm fine.
We are looking forward to your coming in. I want to talk about a whole bunch of things, but I do want to talk about this concert before anything else, coming up at the Palace on the 16th. It's the 50th anniversary of Pet Sounds, and that's what you're going to be performing. Is that you perform the album in its entirety, or what are we expecting to hear on that day?
Quite a few good songs.
Well, I know that.
We guarantee that.
I notice you do the Pet songs as part of your tour, and then you're doing a greatest hits thing. Do you have separate shows? I mean, I know you've done these songs for a long time, but I think it would be difficult to be preparing for two completely different shows, is it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Well, let's switch to how's your back, Brian? I know you've had some back problems.
My back's getting better.
There you go.
I've read somewhere when you first heard, going back, it's hard to believe it's over 50 years ago, but when you heard your first single come on the radio, you know, your friends and your bandmates said the look on your face is something they'd never forget. It had to be a great thrill. But all these years later, like if you're just riding in a cab and one of your songs comes on, what do you have any reaction to it? What's your emotion?
I feel thrilled.
Well, now, I mean, you've heard it so many times. It's amazing. You're still thrilled, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we've got the Red Sox touring Pet Sounds. What is that exactly? Ask about the Red Sox. What is that, Nick? My producer said, "You're a baseball guy. Were you based in L.A., but you couldn't possibly have been rooting for the Red Sox, were you?"
I love the Red Sox.
How did you develop that love affair?
I don't know.
Were you ever a Dodgers fan? I mean, as young'un, growing up?
Yeah, I like the Dodgers.
You're not going to want to do this. So I'm going to ask you to do it anyway. You were a good high school athlete, I'm told. Come on, go back to your glory days. What's the greatest high school athletic moment you've had? What did you do? Did you hit a game-winning shot? I knew you played football.
I hit a home run.
You
I
did?
I hit a home run.
Was it a meaningful home run in the game, or was it like garbage time?
It was meaningful.
Attaboy.
But you played football, and I know you liked that game. And can you remember anything from that?
No, I don't.
Except you got a little headache from all that, right?
Yeah, well.
Right.
Brian, I got to ask you this. Brian Wilson's with us, one of the founders of the Beach Boys, performing at the Palace here in Louisville on November 16th. We're looking forward to it. It's the 50th anniversary of Pet Sounds, which is regarded by some people as one of the very best albums ever recorded. You were called, and still have been called, a genius, and I read somewhere where you said you didn't really appreciate that at the time. Well, why not?
I don't know.
Well, did you feel that it hindered you somehow from getting, you know, work? Like people thought, well, I don't know, geniuses are hard to work with? Or, I mean, what? Or do you look at it differently now? Are you prouder to be regarded that way?
Yeah, very much.
Now, you were, or people look at you in your business as the founder of the psychedelic sound, the psychedelic pop sound. What moved you to that when people were doing bubblegum music and Motown? What pushed you in that area, Brian?
I just liked it.
Well, certainly there's not very many people that create their own sound. You created a sound associated with California and surfing. Were you a good surfer when you were a kid? Did you surf?
I never learned how to surf.
I was hoping you were going to say that, because, you know, the guy who wrote Take Me Out to the Ball Game never saw a baseball game, so I was kind of hoping that you wrote all the surfing songs that never surfed. So,
but there were surfers in your group, correct?
Right.
Uh-oh, does that mean our time's up? What is that?
Yeah, our time's
Uh-oh.
Up.
Oh, all right. Well, send us a bill. Brian,
Thank you for the interview.
We'll see you when you get here in November. Thank you so much. November 16th, Brian Wilson from
bye-bye.
The Beach Boys. Thank you so much. That was less than great.
A bit odd.
Very disappointing, to be quite honest with you, but whatever. So now I'm not going to a show, so there you go.
That was a bit odd. That's all I can say.
Come in here and be a prick on our show. What's that all about?
Yeah,
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. More to come here on Fast Break Friday on ESPN 680, 105.7, and our ESPN affiliates in Louisville. Come by, see us at Academy Sports and Outdoors, and you can win yourself a great, great experience. It's part of the SEC
Nation.
SEC Nation VIP experience. They're going to be doing the show out in Lexington tomorrow. So if you're planning to go to the game, you might as well try and enter this thing, because you got yourself to win a great experience. It's access for two to the hospitality tent. It's a free breakfast. It's a post-show photo opportunity on the set. And you'll get some tailgate chairs to take home as well. So there you go.
And the winner of that will have more fun than we had with our Brian Wilson experience.
Yeah, that's for
sure. That was not my fun.
No, that was not.
That was.
We did the best we could, folks. We tried. We'll come back. More to come. Another hour here on Fast Break Friday on ESPN 680, 105.7.
Do you know what the future you is up to right now? It could be working for UPS. UPS is now hiring part-time package handlers in Louisville. For select shifts, you can now receive bonuses up to $250. They also graduate debt-free through the Metro College Program. Apply now at upsjobs.com. That's upsjobs.com. Get there.